good to be in the house of the Lord. You have to understand how blessed we are to be able to come to the house of the Lord this morning. And it's still, no, it's afternoon now because we're about 5 minutes past noon. But it's still good to be here, to be able to come and be able to lift up the name of Jesus. When we pause for a moment and realize he's brought us through another week. His angels have watched over us, have kept us and protected us, who allowed us to be able to wake us this morning and be able to come back and say, Lord, you are worthy of our praise. Lord, you are worthy to be lifted up. I don't know about you, but I'm just glad to be here this morning. I'm supposed to give you a title. Pastors downstairs this morning in First Steps. I like Sister Beth is always looking for us because she has to get a title. And the title I gave her this morning is, I'm thirsty and I'm hungry. How many times in your life have you said, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty? I'm going to read one scripture, then we're going to pray while you're still standing. From the book of St. Matthew, chapter 5, and verse 6. It says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Shall we pray? Oh, most precious Heavenly Father, the God who created everything, the God who spoke the word into existence, the God who created us out of the dust of the ground, the God who breathed the breath of life into us and we became a living soul, the God whose angels watched over us last night while we slept, the God whose angels woke us this morning from our sleep, oh Heavenly Father. Lord, you've allowed us to come back this morning, Father. Father, we ask you to take your words, Father. Let there be a blessing to the reading of your word, to hearing of your word, oh Heavenly Father. As we lift up your name today, we give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. Hungry and thirsty. We use this term sometime when we're really not hungry or really not thirsty. One of the things you have to understand is when we begin to look at why, I look at that verse and why did he pick, and we'll pick it apart, hungry and thirsty. Because there are some things in life that we can do without. But food and water are not two of those. Looking from a medical point of view, if you say you can go 3 days without any fluids, if you say I'm not going to drink, you can go about 3 days, and at that point, the body begins to shut down. If you say, well, I'm going to fast, we tell them you can go about 3 weeks without eating, and then things begin to shut down. Understand something here. He begins to talk about being hungry and thirsty. It's interesting when we look at this verse that we're talking about the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. These verses all began to build one upon another. But now today we're talking about being blessed. In our society, in our Western culture today, we use this word blessed out of context. Out of context. People look at the word blessed and begin, the first thing come to mind is, if I got something comfortable, I've been blessed. We look at prosperity and say, that's being blessed. If the outcome went the way I wanted to, I've been blessed. But I need you to stop and begin to realize all that is really not what being blessed is all about. So society has shifted the word from being blessed to I've been lucky today. We got a lucky bounce. Luckily, I won the lottery. The reason they do that is for a simple principle. Luck, by definition, means things happen by chance. Let me tell you today, there is nothing in this world that happens by chance. Everything that takes place is ordained and organized by God. But if I say I got lucky, then I don't have to give credit where credit is due. If I say I've been blessed, number one, I have to give credit to the blesser. If I have to give credit to the blesser, then I have to accept the context that there is somebody above myself. There is someone greater. There's somebody on the throne that deserves to receive glory and honor and praise. Oh, hallelujah. So now we come to the beginning of this verse, and it says blessed. When you look up the definition of blessed, it really means being made holy, been made holy and consecrated, to give honor or glory. It has to do with divine body. It's being, listen, when you think about that, it's holy. It's applied to the bride, endured with divine favor or protection. In the world we live in, people want to be blessed with the things of God. But there's a difference between some of the things of God and the Spirit of God. God created everything. There was nothing that was created that was not created by Him. Genesis says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John chapter 1 talks about it clearly. It says what? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things, verse 3, were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Everything was made by God. In this lifetime as we live, we're all going to hunger and thirst after certain things. You have to decide how you want to approach hunger and being thirsty. There are those in the world who seek what I call temporary things. Understand what I'm trying to tell you. There are those who dedicate their lives to the Olympics. They spent days and weeks and years training for the Olympics. For one skate on the ice, that may last a minute and a half. But I can tell you that is temporary. The Bible says that which is seen is temporal. That which is not seen is eternal. Understand what I'm saying? You can chase the things of this world. You can chase power. You can choose wealth. You can chase fame. But I can tell you today, those things are fleeing. Those things will never endure throughout eternity. Understand today, he begins to speak to them from the mountain. He says, blessed a day which hunger and thirst. What he's really asking a question about is, what are you seeking after? What are you after in this lifetime? He cannot answer the question for you, but only you can answer the question within you. What are you investing your time in? I pondered this question, and I know you pondered it long and hard. What am I really investing in? When you think about that equation, I think it becomes very clear. You have to invest in eternity. When I thought about this, I said, you know what? How many people will get there and say, you know, when I stand before the judgment seat, and understand something, we will all stand before the judgment seat. There's not anyone in this room today that will not stand before the judgment seat. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. I'm telling you today, when you're standing there, you're not going to say, you know, I should have slept a little bit later. What I'm really going to be saying, I probably should have been praying a little bit more. I'm probably going to say, I should have been reading my Bible a little bit more. I probably should have been fasting a little bit more. Because all those things won't matter at that moment when we're standing before the judgment seat. So he says, you got to hunger and thirst, but not just after anything. After righteousness. After righteousness. But the question becomes, whose righteousness? Whose righteousness? There are several different righteousness that you can pursue after. You can pursue after, as he told them in the New Testament, the righteousness of the Pharisees. He says, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom. So we look around a lot of times and we say, well, I'm doing better than him. Lord, I'm better than him. You know, let me give you insight, because I gave you a title. But there is a subtitle. The subtitle means, as I told Brother Tedero the other day, an F is an F. An F is an F. What that means today, church, is we have all failed. We've all flunked. It's all final. It's forever. Understand something. The Bible says we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Understand something. So when I look at myself, at my own righteousness, the Bible says my righteousness is as filthy rags. I have no right to be able to stand there and say, I am righteous. The Bible says what I really need to say, oh, wretched man that I am, who will save me? Not what will save me, but who will save me? We know, but there's not but one person that can save you. And that person's name is Jesus Christ. Understand what I'm trying to say this morning. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. People believe that they can save themselves. I'll make it quite straightforward for you. A drowning man can't save himself. Think about that. A drowning man cannot save himself. Because it's simple. If he could save himself, he wouldn't be drowning. So now, the drowning man is drowning. That's us. Before God called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we are drowning in sin. We don't may not want to call it sin. We want to dress it up as something else, but the Bible calls it sin. When we disobey the laws of God, we sin. So therefore, once we have sinned, we cannot save ourselves. We are drowning. But what happens in the world today is the drowning man wants to know, what will it cost to get rescued? What will it cost to get rescued? That's why there are religions out there that are prospering. Why? Because he wants to be saved, but with the cheapest cost. He wants to be saved, but send the cheapest boat you got. What is the easiest way to get saved? I'm here today to tell you it's not about the cheapest boat. It's not about the fastest boat. It's about the solid boat. It's about the boat that you know that will not sink. It will not sink. I'm telling you, if you're drowning, you want them to send the best boat. The solid boat. I know that boat is not going to take on water. I know that boat is never going to sink. I'm here today to tell you, long as Jesus Christ is in that boat is not going to sink. Oh, hallelujah. 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 So it says you got to hunger and thirst after righteousness. After righteousness. You can call it right living. But it really is about hungering and thirsting about the things of God. The things of God. Understand something. People that I talked about early hunger and thirst after a lot of things. But you have to think about what will last a lifetime? What will last through all eternity? Righteousness, doing what's right. Doing what's right. Paul said he saw two members warring within himself. Here is Paul, who wrote a tremendous amount of the New Testament. He says, what? When I wanted to do right, guess what? Evil was at the door. He said, I want to do right. That's why Paul says, behold, I die, and I die daily. What was he saying? He says, I'm going to have to take this flesh of mine, and I'm going to have to beat it up. I'm going to have to beat it up, not just one time. I'm always thinking about beating it up like weeds in your front yard. If you go out in your front yard and you got weeds, you can break off that weed all you want to. But I can tell you one thing. You come back a couple days later, that weed done grew right back up. The only way to get rid of the weed is to pull it out by the root. Since we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, we have to have Jesus Christ to deal with the sin in our life. We think we can overcome sin on our own. We think we can whoop up on the devil by ourselves. How many times have you said this? Say, well, I'm not going to pray about it. I can just handle this situation. I tell people, the minute I run out, I think I'm going to help take that situation. I can manage it myself. You run out there, and the next thing you know, you got a couple whoops upside your head. Because you thought you can whip the devil without some help. Now, the devil has a lot of practice through the years. But understand something. We serve a God that's greater than that. We serve a God that's greater than that. Do you realize when he talks about hunger and thirst after righteousness, it's just about doing the right thing. And you realize there's no law about doing the right thing. I tell you this all the time. You drive down the road. You see a speed limit sign. Think about it, the speed limit sign. You think about the red light, where the guy pulls up the red light, he looks both ways and goes through the red light. Here is the problem with the red light. The red light can tell you what you're doing wrong. The stop sign can tell you what you're doing wrong, but it can't make you do right. Understand what I'm trying to say. The Bible lets us know what right and wrong is. There is no gray zone between right and wrong. Society wants you to believe there is situational ethics. That if I'm hungry, it's all right to go steal. Well, I was hungry. So I just went in the store and opened a pack of bread and started eating it without paying for it. Situational ethics says that's okay, you can get away with it. The Bible says thou shalt not steal. I'm going to tell you today, there is a clear line between right and wrong. Right is still right, and wrong is still wrong. Listen, we got some, there's some crazy ideas out there in that world. When you stop and think about some of that stuff, you're going, where did they come up with that? I'm sitting there going, you scratch your head, that doesn't fit with the word of God. People say, well, God is love, and I can do this. But God's a God of love, but God's also a God of judgment. They're trying to pacify themselves. But all of a sudden he says, listen, blessed are you when you hunger and thirst after righteousness. Where am I going to find righteousness? I'm going to find righteousness when I start reading the word of God. When I start praying and God starts communicating to me and be laying down some foundations on which I'm willing to stand and say, this is the word of God. See, let me tell you something. Do it what's right is not always popular. Understand what I'm trying to tell you. Sometime when you're doing right, you will be standing by yourself. You will be standing. But he says, get you a hunger and thirst after righteousness. It's interesting what he says. After he says, you shall be filled. You shall be filled. It's interesting when we look at it through the earthly eyes, when we go and we eat. Then we get full and say, I don't want to eat anymore. I'm full. I don't have enough to eat. I don't drink. Now I'm not thirsty anymore. But you ever realize when you start really getting to the word of God, the more you read, the more you want to read. The more you drink, the more you want to drink. Understand that. It's something about it that does something. When you get into the word, when you start reading one page, you want to read two pages. When I read two pages, I want to read three pages. It's something that just has this draw. You know what it is? Because you're finally beginning to find your way back home. You're finally beginning to find your way to something that you really connect with. Understand what I'm trying to tell you. If you go out there, and you hunger and thirst for the wrong thing, you will be thirsty again. You will be hungry again. Give me Proverbs 27 and verse 20, Sister Beth. Listen to what it says in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 20. I'm sorry, I've got to looking up something. But it says, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Listen to what he's saying. He says, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Never satisfied. If you focus on the wrong thing, you'll never get there. So you have to put your eyes where you can be satisfied. This lifetime is not about being content. This lifetime is not about having everything. We all talk about how good God is. But is God still good when you're going through the storm? Is God still your God when all of a sudden you wake up one day and everything you thought in your life you had starts to fall apart and you really don't know where else you're going to go? Well, one moment, you on top of the world. The next moment, the world on top of you, and you don't have a clue what just happened. Can you still say God is good? We say God is good all the time. That means God is good when I'm on top of the mountain. God is still God when I'm in the middle of the valley. God is still God when the sun is shining. God is still God when it's raining in my life. I'm here today to tell you, you got to get to the point where your relationship with God doesn't depend on what the weather tells you. God, your relationship with God doesn't matter whether you're on the mountaintop. Oh, it doesn't matter, because I know in my God. Oh, you got to get a hunger and a thirst for the things that God wants you to have. For you shall be filled. We talked about purpose. One of the most interesting things, I hurry to a close, is that Ecclesiastes. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. This is probably, I tell everybody, the most profound things you can read in the Bible. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I'm going to read verse 13 and 14. With Solomon. And I tell everybody, let me understand something. Solomon was wiser than anybody here. Solomon had more gold and silver than anybody. Solomon had more ladies than anybody we can talk about. But at the end, listen to what Solomon has to say about this whole thing. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Listen to what he's saying. He says, guys, let me sum this up for you. Let me sum life up for you. Not let the world sum it up for you. Because when I was growing up, they say, who died with the most toys won. But in reality, he who died with the most toys is still dead. And the conclusion is, he didn't take it with him. But fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. But it doesn't end right there. Because if it just ended here when we took our last breath, it wouldn't matter. For God shall bring every work into judgment, every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Ask yourself a question as we hurry to a close. Is what I'm pursuing, does it benefit me? Does it benefit God? I'm asking you a question today. What I'm pursuing, what I'm investing my time, my talent, my treasure into, does it benefit the kingdom? Does it benefit the kingdom? Understand something, because one day, and none of us know the day. The Bible says no man knows the appointed day and time. Listen, we're beginning to approach. I was thinking about it. Palm Sunday is coming next Sunday. Then the following week is Easter. Now, I want you to take a moment and think back over the last year. This is just thought for you. Think about how many people you know who passed from this world to the next world in the last year. Now ask yourself a question. Why was it not you? Why was it not you? Why was it not you? Why was it somebody else and not me? It's only because of the grace of God. It's not anything you did. It's not any pills that the doctor gave you. It's not any surgery you did or anybody did. But it's the grace of God. It's the grace of God that allows us to know that we're still alive today and well. Can you stand as I come to a close? I want you to begin to understand some things. Don't chase the things of this world. Those things are fleeing. They're but for a moment in time. Matthew 6 and 33 says something interesting. It says, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He didn't say you can't have these things. He said, what becomes a priority first in your life? He wants to know, is he first in your life? Today, as we begin to take a break, and before we come back for 1 o'clock, I want you to ask yourself a question. Is the Lord first in your life? Sometimes we are afraid to say, Lord, search me. As David said, Lord, search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. He said, and if there be any wicked way, lead me in the way of everlasting life. He was willing to say, Lord, search me. Search me. What was he saying, church, as we come to a close? He was saying, I don't want to be lost. I don't want to spend eternity, as pastors say, in the hot spot. But, Lord, I want to spend eternity with you. Shall we pray as we close? Oh, Heavenly Father. Oh, Lord, this is your word, oh, Heavenly Father. Father, give us a hunger and a thirst after righteousness, which is really a hunger and a thirst after you, oh Heavenly Father. Not only, Father, we want to walk like you. We want to talk like you, Father. We want to do your will, oh Heavenly Father. Father, the Bible reminds us, Father, we are a light, Father, unto a lost and a dying world, oh Heavenly Father. Father, let us go, Father, and take your words and tell the world that there you are, a living God, that you're still alive and you set up on the throne, Father. Father, now we ask that you go with us as we pray, Father. As we come back at 1 o'clock, let us come to lift up your name, for you are worthy of our praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You're dismissed.